You know that we love our on-demand listeners here at Lutheran Public Radio. Now, if you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc. in 2008, please consider making a year-end gift to help support this worldwide outreach. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can contribute by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and mail it to LPR Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. LPR Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us as we approach the end of 2008.
What the Sam Hill you yelling for, George?
You, George, Bert, do you know me?
Know you? You kidding? I've been looking all over town trying to find you. I saw your car piled into that tree down there, and I thought maybe you... Hey, your mouth's bleeding. Are you sure you're all right?
What you... My mouth's bleeding, Bert! My mouth's bleeding! Zuzu's pedals! Zuzu... There they are! Bert! What do you know about that? Merry Christmas!
Well, Merry Christmas.
There have been some very good ones, like It's a Wonderful Life. There have been some very bad ones. Anybody ever see Bad Santa? Bad movie, bad Christmas movie. And every year there are more and more and more Christmas movies. We're going to discuss movies for the rest of today's program. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. I want to hear from you. What is your all-time favorite Christmas movie and why? 1-877-623-6943-877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address this Friday afternoon, the 12th of December, talkback@issuesetc.org. talkback@issuesetc.org. Brian Gadawa also joins us. He's a screenwriter from Southern California and author of the book Hollywood Worldviews, Watching Films with Wisdom and Discernment. Brian, welcome back.
Todd. Great to be here.
Well, what should we be looking for? What worldview makes for a good Christmas movie?
I haven't put a lot of thought into that one explicitly, what makes a good Christmas movie. But I would think that, obviously as Christians, for us the meaning of Christmas is rooted in the birth and incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are not too many movies like that being made that deal with that issue. What's second best? Second best type of things you should be looking for would probably be, I think a good Christmas movie emphasizes one of a couple things. Either family and friends are more important than other things in life, the idea of sacrificial giving, sacrificial love, that kind of a thing. Which can also often be embodied in a story about a selfish person who learns to become less selfless, or a person who's alienated from their family who learns to love and be drawn back to their family. In other words, what's the meaning of Christmas? If you're not going to have Christ as a part of it, at least I would hope that there would be this idea of finding value in loving and giving to people. So from a worldview perspective, I would say that's probably one of them.
Okay, so what is your favorite Christmas movie of all time? And talk about the worldview in your favorite Christmas movie.
Yeah, well, I have to say it's a Wonderful Life, and I know that that's pretty much everybody's, but it really is, it's really the only one that I would really watch try to watch every Christmas with my wife, and I think the essence of the story is just so universal, it's the idea of a person with big dreams and wanting to, George Bailey, who wants to break out of his small town mentality, which really, that's pretty universal, in today's world, I think. There's a lot of contempt for the small town life and, that kind of a thing. And so he starts, he says he wants to, wipe the dust off the feet of his town and never look back type of thing and go out into the big world and make a lot of money and become successful and yada, yada. But what happens is he's got a heart for his family and friends, and so he starts helping people out, even begrudgingly so, because he wants to get out of there. He helps his brother with something, and then his father with something, and then the city with something as there's financial problems, and his dad works at a bank, and then he has to take over the bank. And of course, he never gets to leave the small town, and he never gets to find his his uh, personal dreams. And he always feels like he's being held back and he's miserable because of it. But the course of the story, he, of course, learns, you know, there's the famous twist that he wishes he was never born. And then an angel, you know, visits him and gives him the opportunity to, you know, to see what would the world be like without George Bailey. And he sees all the people whose lives would be destroyed or hurt because George Bailey didn't exist. So he learns to, he comes to realize that it's the people around him and his family and friends and people that matter more than his personal desire for success and that kind of thing. And that, he is a wealthy man who has friends, or what is it? He's no poor man who has friends, you know? And so that's the kind of heart of giving yourself to other people, I think, that is one of the values that I think is reflected, you know, in a Christian worldview of Christmas.
We're talking with Brian Godow, a Christmas movie classics and a few that will be in the theaters during this holiday season is the subject of our conversation. So, Brian's is It's a Wonderful Life. It's his favorite Christmas movie. He's told us why. What about you? Is It's a Wonderful Life yours, or is it something else? Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE, or email us, talkback@issuesetc.org. Here's Andy calling in St. Louis. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Todd. I think my favorite movie is A Christmas Carol. It's been remade maybe a dozen times. But when I was a young boy and watching it on television, the black-and-white version with Alistair Sim, really spoke to me, and I think had a great deal of influence over my life.
Andy, thank you very much. Well, there's not only a classic movie, but a classic story, period. Talk about that, if you would, Brian.
Well, you know, I'm not sure the version he's talking about, but, you know, A Christmas Carol is the classic story that goes back to Dickens, and you know, as we all know, it's basically the story of a man who's Scrooge, Ebenezer Scrooge, and how he's so selfish and with his own riches and wealth and such, and he's older, and then the ghost of the death, I think, visits him and has several ghosts visit him, the ghosts of past, present, and future, and he basically sees, if I remember correctly, you know, he sees like what the future will be like, and he sees, I can't remember what it is that he sees, but by seeing the past, the present, and future, it moves him in a way that he becomes, again, more selflessly giving to those around him. And it's reflected in another one of my favorites called Scrooged, which is a comedy version of it, and that one stars Bill Murray, and Bill Murray is this selfish television producer who doesn't care about people, and he uses people, uses women, all that kind of stuff. And then he gets visited, you know, it changes his life as well, but it's very comedic and very funny. I think it came out in the 80s, and it's a classic, and Scrooged is a good version of A Christmas Carol.
Okay, see, that's my hands-down favorite is Scrooged. That's the kind of person I am for several reasons, some of them mundane and other them perhaps a little more meaningful. One is that it's Bill Murray at his best.
Yeah.
I think number two, it's a story within a story because he's actually trying to produce a network version of a Christmas Carol.
And yeah, that's right.
And he's got, you know, dancing ladies in it and product placement and all that kind of stuff. But the third thing about that film is that the character arc, kind of like the Dickens story, the character arc is so remarkable that it's a person who actually has turned from looking only inside himself to outside himself. And they just did it so very well. I mean, they may have done it kind of in a high comedy way, but definitely well.
Yes, I agree.
Okay, Doug in Greer, South Carolina says, my favorite is, hands down, It's a Wonderful Life. The message I get from the movie is that everyone matters, and isn't that the reason Christ died for us? Because we matter to him. Your thoughts there, Brian?
Yeah, excellent point. And, you know, it goes to show you that a good movie will have multiple themes and resonances with people, you know. There's a lot in that movie. Like I mentioned, you know, that saying, he is no poor man who's rich in friends. And, you know, that's a theme, one of the themes of the story, as well as, you know, nothing is wasted on people, you know, that we give to people, as well as family and friends are more important than job and career, you know. So those are all themes that are in the movie. But, yeah, I agree with that caller. It's definitely a good one.
Okay, so if you were making a short list, we got about a minute and a half here before our first break. If you're making a short list, what else would be on your favorite Christmas movies, and what worldview do you find there?
Well, I would list under that Elf, which is just a riot with Will Smith. Although I have a qualification on that one, I do sort of am angry about movies that deal with Santa Claus, you know, versus Jesus. But again, understanding we're in a world that's very corrupted, and they're not going to tend to want to show Jesus. I love Elf, and A Christmas Story is another classic. But two of my favorites are Family Man with Nicolas Cage, which is a wonderful Christmas story, and believe it or not, Die Hard, the original Die Hard, which was it happened at Christmas, and it's all about sort of reconciliating a broken family. So those would be my list.
With only about 30 seconds here, why is it that Hollywood makes so many of these Christmas stories? I mean, why do they can continuously revisit Santa Claus, elves, the whole Christmas theme, family, all of those things? Why do they do this? About 30 seconds.
Yeah, it's a good question. This last year they had Fred Claus, which wasn't about Santa Claus. It was about Santa Claus's brother, Fred Claus. So, you know, yeah, you can come up with an innumerable different takes on it. But again, I think it all resonates with us. Really what's resonating is this notion of giving, sacrificial giving, which goes back to St. Nicholas, the real true story of St. Nicholas and how he was very sacrificial giving. I don't know the full details of his story. But then, of course, that was a reflection of Christ being given to us. So that's what I think is resonating about it, is that sacrificial giving and loving other people is something that really resonates strong with people, and that's why they love going seeing those movies, and that's why Hollywood makes them, because it makes a lot of money.
Folks, Issues Etc. is coming to you live this Friday, December the 12th. We want to hear from you. Call or email us now. What's your favorite Christmas movie and why? Talk back at issuesetc.org, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Brian Gadawa is our guest, a screenwriter in Southern California. He's authored the book Hollywood Worldviews, Watching Films with Wisdom and Discernment.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Sin, what did it do to the world?
Answers with Ken Ham, editor of the best-selling book, The New Answers Book.
Have you ever thought about what the world was like before Adam sinned? Now, today, of course, we see a planet full of death and suffering. It's really a horrible world. But the Bible tells us that it wasn't always like this. The book of Genesis says that before sin, animals were vegetarian, and so was man. Now, the first time man was told he could eat meat was in Genesis chapter 9. See, the original world was very good, as the Bible records. But the Apostle Paul tells us in the book of Romans, the whole world now groans in pain. There's something very wrong today. And that's why Jesus Christ came to die on the cross and be raised from the dead, so that one day he'll restore all things. There'll be new heavens and new earth, no more death and suffering. In fact, the book of Isaiah gives us a little picture of what it will be like in the future. The wolf will dwell with the lamb, a perfect place. The Bible teaches that the world before the fall had no disease, death, or suffering.
One of the most asked questions we get, and it's sometimes used to try to stump Christians, is the question, where did Cain find his wife? For the answer, we hope you'll call and request a copy of our booklet on this topic, one written by Ken Ham. It's such a great evangelistic tool, we'd like to send 10 of them to you. Just present a donation of any amount. Call toll-free 888-89-ANSWERS, 888-89-ANSWERS, or visit our website, answersoffer.org.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastors or lay leaders to hold a seminar in your area. Go to theclcc.org.
Why are you smiling like that?
I just like to smile. Smiling's my favorite.
Make work your favorite. That's your favorite, okay?
Okay.
Work is your new favorite.
Fine.
Okay, people, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh,
Santa here? I know him. I know him.
He'll be here to take pictures with all the children.
Yeah.
Just keep your receipts.
A little bit from Elf, Will Ferrell, playing rather enormous elf. One of those holiday classics, almost an instant classic. What is your favorite Christmas movie? We're talking with Brian Gadawa. We want to hear from you, 1-877-622-3693. Which is your favorite and why? 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or email us right here in the studio this Friday, the December the 12th, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. This email comes from Jonna in Michigan, one I hadn't thought of. She says, Charlie Brown actually has the gospel reading from Luke. It's a Charlie Brown Christmas. It's beautiful and it's scriptural. If you're going to watch a film, a Christmas film, and I'm not real partial, Charlie Brown is the best. Your thoughts there, Brian?
Yeah, I actually thought of that, thought of saying that, because I also listen to the soundtrack every year. It's my favorite Christmas soundtrack. So, yeah, definite big plus on there. And I forgot about that. That's right. He reads from the Gospel of Luke, which was because, Charles Schulz was a Christian, and so it's kind of cool that he made sure that Christmas show reflected some of that faith accurately. So that was really great.
Could that be done today? I mean, if they were making even an animated classic like that, could that be done today, an entire reading from the Nativity account?
Boy, I don't know. But, they did make the movie The Nativity. That was in response to The Passion. And because The Passion made so much money, they thought, well, hey, maybe we can make more money off these Christians and let's give them the Nativity, the Incarnation, And it was, and I'm sure some people might say, they liked that movie. I thought it was pretty good. It was good. It wasn't great. It wasn't like, it didn't hit you like The Passion hit you, of course. And it was sort of a traditional religious movie approach. It wasn't a unique take on it, So it was a good movie, but I don't know that it was a great movie.
Tim is listening in Evansville, Indiana. Tim, thanks for waiting. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hello there. Just a little bit of thoughts here. A couple movies. Our family put together a VHS tape with the 1951 Alistair Stim Scrooge. It's a Wonderful Life and the George C. Scott Christmas Carol, and that's become a tradition for us. We watch those three, so I'd have a hard time separating those three. But two that commented on the Christmas Story and the Elf would be way at the bottom of my list.
Tim, why are those your favorites? Why are those family classics for you guys?
Probably just a tradition that we've done it since our kids were little for 20, 30 years now. And the stuff you've commented on, Everybody's Important, It's a Wonderful Life. I love the Alistair Stim Scrooge. I think he really brings it across. So we just really like those.
Tim, thanks for listening in Indiana. This is Ann in St. Louis. Ann, welcome.
Hi, how are you this afternoon?
Very well.
Okay, our favorite movie probably has nothing to do with all those things, and it's a little Shop Around the Corner with Jimmy Stewart and I think Maureen O'Sullivan. And there's a character in there named Purovich that I think the absolute charm of the movie, and it's more of a love story. But I think if I was going to pick movies that were about, self-sacrifice and stuff, I'd pick the Harry Potter series because that's consistent. And the last thing I wanted to say was, Brian, sometime when you're on, I would love to discuss The Dark Knight because we just watched it and it was very, very difficult to watch, and it's certainly not a Christmas movie, but I would just like to hear your spin on that sometime in the future.
And thank you so much. Well, by coincidence, I actually watched it on DVD last night, didn't see it in the theater, but I would like very much your thoughts on it. Let's just take a break from the holidays for a second and talk about The Dark Knight, if you would.
Yeah, I think The Dark Knight is probably the richest, deepest comic book movie that's been out yet. The reason why is because I think that Christopher Nolan, who wrote and directed it, he really plumbs the depths of moral dilemmas and moral issues of good and evil, not in a very shallow surface way. It's sort of like The Matrix, only in Batman, in the sense of dealing with ideas and worldviews outright. And the various moral dilemmas that are set up in that movie are ones that may force us to think of issues like, how far do we go to fight evil? Should we ourselves break the law in order to catch criminals? Is that justice? How far do we go in dealing with evil? We have to stop evil, but how far can we be perfectly, can we follow a code perfectly, or do we sometimes have to break that code? And in some ways, a lot of the moral issues that were going on there were reflective of the last, 7 years of dealing with the terrorists. In many ways, Batman was doing the kinds of things that George Bush was doing. You have the struggle of the illegal wiretapping. Should Batman illegally wiretap the whole city in order to catch that one crazy man that could kill everybody? And the movie doesn't just allow it; it shows that there's a struggle. Some people don't agree. Even Batman's not sure it's right. Should we torture terrorists in order to save hundreds or thousands of other people's lives? These are issues that we've had to deal with in our culture, and that's what I liked about the movie, because it reflected those struggles in that story, and it shows that life is not as black and white as we would like it to be, but we nonetheless have to make some moral decisions in fighting evil. And I also think that the Joker, obviously Heath Ledger will win an Oscar for his performance, because it was the best of the year, probably one of the best villains ever, right up there next to Hannibal Lecter. But he was very, very unique villain in that he sort of represented, as he called himself, the agent of chaos. Whereas Batman is a man who follows a strict moral code. He doesn't want to kill villains. He wants to capture them, and he wants to do things right. The Joker is the opposite. He's a man who thrives off of Batman because he thrives just creating havoc for the sake of havoc. Oftentimes in movies we see villains and they try to explain them as going back to some psychological hurt they had in the past, this kind of garbage. And no, the movie sort of makes the idea that some people are just evil, and evil is real, and we got to fight it. And there is no explanation, doesn't have to be an explanation for it to justify it. It's wrong, period. So these are the kind of issues and moral themes and moral dilemmas that the movie wrestles with, and I don't think it always makes solid answers, which sometimes life is messy, and it's somewhat postmodern in that sense, but I think that that's what makes it so rich, so thoughtful, and so memorable for people.
Just as an aside, the key point in that movie for me was actually a very minor scene where the Joker character tells the story of how he got his scars for the second time, and you realize he's making it up. And he's just a bad guy. And I thought to myself, now this is the kind of villain that is really true to life. This isn't some psychologized villain.
Yes, and of course, like I said, a lot of movies tend to psychologize it, but so does our culture. We see an evil person and we say, oh, why, who hurt him that made him be that way? Or we're a culture that blames the victim. If we're attacked by terrorists, it must be something we did wrong, rather than, no, Islamic terrorists are evil and they want to conquer the world and we're in their way. We did something wrong to provoke them. These are the kind of backwards thinking morality that our culture has come to. But like you said, he sort of mocks that and plays with it, and it's like, we come to realize, no, he didn't have some hurt that caused him to be what he is. He's evil.
All right, what about the rest of you? We've heard from a couple. Anne says, Tim says It's a Wonderful Life. Others say It's a Wonderful Life. I like Scrooged. Your favorite Christmas movie and why? 1-877-623-6943-877-623-MYIE, and our in-studio email address. We're talking with Brian Gadawa, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Sharon in St. Louis emails us. She says, having never seen It's a Wonderful Life, I can't call it my favorite. I would have to say that my favorite Christmas movie is A Christmas Carol with George C. Scott. It holds pretty close to the book, which I always appreciate. More than that, the transformation of Scrooge is great. I always found that his name, Ebenezer, is ironic, considering his name means, thus far the Lord has helped us. Your thoughts there with about a minute going into this break, Brian?
I didn't know. I forgot about that, the Ebenezer, Yeah, you know, it's I have not seen the George C. Scott one. I'm putting it on my list now, though, to see it, since so many people have mentioned it. But yeah, A Christmas Carol is just one of the, it's the classic. It gets, you know, and it gets rewritten and redone over and over in new contexts, you know. Yeah, absolutely. I'm my vote's for that.
All right, let's see what Kevin has to say in St. Louis. Kevin, our time is short towards this break. What's your question or comment?
Hi. It's not quite a Christmas movie, but Groundhog Day by Bill Murray is something I watch every winter, and it's got kind of a Christmassy theme to it, in a sense. It's a lot like the Scrooged theme. He has a transformation and becomes a better person.
Kevin, thank you very much. Your thoughts very briefly. We got about 30 seconds before our break, Brian.
Yeah, that is a classic. I love it as well. It's the story about the selfish news reporter guy who has to go to Punxsutawney every year and talk and with Groundhog Day, and he's boring. He hates the small town, and he gets stuck. A magical thing, he makes him get stuck in a rut, so he keeps living the same day over and over and over again until he becomes a better person. And I guess you can get away with it because it does end up with snow in the movie, so maybe you can get away with that.
Brian Godawa is our guest. 1-877-623-6943. What's your favorite Christmas movie? 10 more minutes. 1-877-623-MY-I-E. Talkback at issuesetc.org. I'm Todd Wilkins. Stay tuned.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology, issuesetc.org.
A lot of us across this country are really thankful to be hearing your voices again.
Dr. Albert Moeller, president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, with his thoughts on the return of Issues Etc.
It's great to be with you guys on Issues Etc. Welcome back. A lot of us across this country are really thankful to be hearing your voices again. It's always great to be with you guys.
We're talk radio for the thinking Christian, Issues Etc. Listen live or on demand at www.issuesetc.org.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Looking for Bible studies that dig deeply into Scripture? Concordia Publishing House has a great new resource titled A Longer Look at the Lessons. A Longer Look at the Lessons explores the richness of each week's sermon topic and scripture readings. Check out A Longer Look at the Lessons at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase A Longer Look at the Lessons by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Bible study resource only costs $30 per quarter. 1-800-325-3040.
What is it, Captain?
Whatever it is, it's incredibly advanced.
Hey iPhone users, you can now listen to Issues Etc. live on your iPhone. Find out by going to piratechristianradio.com and click the iPhone link on the homepage. You no longer have to sit by your PC, laptop, or home radio to listen to Issues Etc. live. piratechristianradio.com and look for the iPhone icon.
With something much, much more. And it's going to change everything.
I'm going to ask you a series of control questions. Are you currently in a seated position?
Yes.
General Quinn needs to see you in the briefing room. He says it's urgent.
Are you aware of an impending attack on the planet Earth? I'll repeat the question.
Did you feel that? Feel what? You should let me go.
I think that one opens today, The Day the Earth Stood Still with Keanu Reeves. A remake, by the way. One of those holiday movies, not exactly in a holiday theme. It looks like the Earth is going to be destroyed in that one. We're talking about Christmas movie classics and your favorite Christmas movie. Brian Godawa, a screenwriter in Southern California, is our guest, author of the book Hollywood Worldviews, Watching Films with Wisdom and Discernment. You can find out more about his book under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. This email comes from Ron in Lockport, Illinois. He says, some of our favorite Christmas ones are Christmas in Connecticut, old but a simple and very nice movie, White Christmas. Hadn't thought about that one. Der Bingle and A Christmas Story, one of my favorites too. With the Lamp is under my favorite. It's Italian. With the Lamp, I think, is what it is. Funny Farm, Chevy Chase, Fighting with the Town and the Mailman, says Ron in Lockport, Illinois. What do you make of some of his Christmas movies there, Brian?
I haven't seen any of them.
Really? Not White Christmas?
No, I got to put that on my list, too. I've never seen it. I've heard a lot of people, like on the internet, a lot of people tend to put White Christmas on there, too. So,
what about Miracle on, 52nd Street or something like
that? Yeah, that was another old classic with, is there really a Santa Claus, you know? But I saw it so many years ago, I don't remember anything about it.
All right, Jonathan in Creston, Iowa says, even though I wasn't born in that era, A Christmas Story is my childhood. It's my favorite Christmas movie, and we watch it every Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and I think that's the reason why a lot of us put that on our list, because it really does capture our personal experiences when we were young, you know? I don't know that it has a particularly Christmas message to it, but it just really seemed to capture a lot of people's youth.
And there's no arc of the characters in that movie whatsoever. It's just comedy.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, why did you say Die Hard is among your favorite Christmas movies?
Well, it does take place at Christmas, and it's one of the best, still one of the best action movies of all time, or it spawned, a whole new generation of action movies. And it really, one of the reasons why it was such a great one was not just because of the over-the-top stunts that sort of made it stand out, but it really had a rich relationship driving it. You know, this man's on the verge of divorce with his wife, and it's about him going back and trying to rescue her, and which is a metaphor for rescuing his marriage. You know, and so I think that's what made it so much more than just an action movie, and I think that's why it resonated with people so deeply.
Steve is calling from his car. Steve, welcome.
Hey, mine is, my favorite Christmas music is not the least bit religious, but it's National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
And why so, Steve?
Well, how many Griswolds do you know that go over the top on decorating their houses? And I love the Clark Griswold character because he's in search of this Christmas that never existed, this mythical happy family Christmas with a beautiful tree. And how many people are out there looking for that same type of Christmas that never has existed, but we always strive for?
Steve, thank you very much. Your thoughts, Brian?
Well, I haven't seen the movie, but I'm sure that if we have a false picture of what Christmas is, that could be detrimental. But I don't think it's necessarily wrong to have to have the desire and hope for a high standard for Christmas. You know what I mean? I think that one could complain that making Christmas this one time of the year where we're giving to one another really cheapens and trivializes giving. We should be always pursuing that, and I suppose that's true. But on the other hand, it's not wrong in and of itself to elevate giving, And so, like I said, I haven't seen the movie, so I don't know exactly what he's talking about. But in responding to what he said, movies are not reality, and they're not supposed to be. They're metaphors for reality. They're about the way we should be. Very few people in life have dramatic character arcs like A Christmas Carol or Scrooged, where they change from a selfish person to a good person overnight. It usually comes through discipline over years, let's be honest. However, that doesn't mean we shouldn't lift up the value of changing and becoming a better person, And I think that's a good thing.
Okay, let's see. You list among, not the Christmas movies, but holiday time movies, you say best of the year is Slumdog Millionaire?
Excuse me.
Why so?
Slumdog Millionaire is a little independent film that is a story of this young boy in India, excuse me, who ends up on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire in India, because of course they have their own version of it, right? And it just so happens that he was a little orphan who lived in the slums. They call them slum dogs. And he ends up winning $16 million because he answers all the questions. And it just, it freaks you out. But then they start to show why he knows the answers. He didn't cheat or anything. They go back through his life as a little orphan and how he grew up and all the struggles he had in the midst of great poverty and crime in India. But it shows how he learned the answer to those trivial questions. And it's just this wonderful movie about destiny and about, you know, it's a love story, and so it has a lot of hope and redemption, even though it goes through the midst of a lot of, like I say, a lot of poverty in India, and a lot of crime and such that he has to cope with and deal with in life. But it really gives hope for redemption, and it's a love story that's just the most wonderful story of the year. I would highly recommend it.
Well, second only in theme to probably Christmas movies are vampire movies, and the big one, the vampire movie of all time, is out, Twilight. Why should we understand what this movie is and what it's about?
Well, I think I read the book Twilight and I saw the movie Twilight, and I think it's an important reflection of several things about the way we think in our culture and the way kids are. And it's important for us to understand that. First of all, I think that what makes the story so unique is that it was written by a woman, and the woman's approach on vampires was very different than many men's. So she, in the book and in this movie, there's a focus on the relationship between this girl who falls for this boy who happens to be a vampire. And the problem is the boy, they love each other, but he has to hold himself back because that thirst for blood of the vampire in him, he's trying to hold it back because he doesn't want to hurt her. And so it's this struggle of, you know, needing to stay away from each other but yet wanting to be with each other and self-control. So ultimately, I think the story is a metaphor for self-control and abstinence. And that's why I think it's, in some ways, it's a very powerful metaphor for that. And this whole bad boy image that a lot of girls fall for and then they ruin their lives. Well, yeah, he's kind of the bad boy, but the story emphasizes, you know, how he's holding back his bad nature so that he can be good for her. And I think that that's the positive side of the story. The downside is that, you know, I wanted to add something too. So in the book, there's no gore, it's all relationship, and then the final climactic battle between vampires, she doesn't even have it in the book because the girl, the heroine, gets knocked out and then wakes up and it's all over. So it's kind of funny how the woman didn't want to write about the violence, you know. But I thought that was interesting because it focused on the relationship and the concept of, you know, can we overcome our natures and all this kind of thing. The downside is I think that, you know, as the statistics are showing, these kids, girls are just drawn to this in droves, and unfortunately, I think they're not necessarily going to pick up the abstinence motif that I think is inherent in it. They're going to really be drawn to that bad boy thing, and like I said, I deal with so many people whose lives are ruined, women's lives are ruined because they keep being drawn to these bad boys who end up hurting them and destroying them rather than good men or good boys who trying to live lives of integrity, you know. And so there's this sort of like...
About 10 seconds here.
Sort of like a values modification that's going on with it. But I think there's good and bad in the movie.
By the way, folks, we're going to be reviewing Twilight, the book series, next week on Issues Etc. with Dr. Richard Stockwish. Brian Gadawa is a screenwriter in Southern California, author of the book Hollywood Worldviews, Watching Films with Wisdom and Discernment. Brian, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Monday on the program, we'll have Gretchen Pasentino on. We'll answer the question, is Christmas Christian, or is it just another secular holiday, perhaps with pagan roots? We'll answer that question with Gretchen Pasentino Monday on the program. And as I said, next week we will be reviewing the books, the Twilight books, with Dr. Richard Stockwish. Well, you go to the theater, you sit in there for a while as your eyes adjust to the dark and your ears to the Dolby sound, and maybe it's a little bit of escapism. When you go to the movies this holiday season, look for the worldview. Will you find the Christmas story told in all of its great glory and its comfort as it is in Scripture? No, but look for the worldview that's there. Be wise, be discerning. I'm Todd Wilkin. talk with you again Monday, and thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.